Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome back to CHGO Bears After Dark, presented by Circa Sports. Back at it once again here at CHGO Bears After Dark with our guy, Corey Wooten. Excited to get his perspective here on all the moves so far that have been made in free agency. But before we get there, how you doing, man? We missed you.
Man, I'm doing good. Doing good. Busy couple days, but now we're back. Free agency just got started, so got a lot of good things to talk about tonight. Hopefully, we'll see some big acquisitions in the next few days. Really looking for that splash player for the Bears free agency.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, well, last week when we were on live last Monday, about 10 days ago or so, you know, while we were live, the Bears made their first move, you know, trading for offensive lineman Ryan Bates, and that kind of started to kick things off here in the free agent period. You know, Ryan Bates, you know, a guy that, you know, we talked about last week, but, you know, that Ryan Poles had been targeting for a few years now. So he's in the fold. And since we've talked to you, a lot of moves have been made. We're going to kind of go through these one by one. But just to set the table, you know, the Bears traded for Ryan Bates. Then they extended Jalen Johnson, a big move there. Maybe I'd include that in the free agent frenzy, you know, because that's money spent from the cap. And then signed a safety, Kevin Byard from Philadelphia, who also played with Tennessee, a veteran. And then the running back, DeAndre Swift, you know, I think those two would kind of constitute as some of the bigger splashes so far. And then some fill-in pieces, you know, a tight end in Gerald Everett, safety in Jonathan Owens from Green Bay. And then most recently today, Matt Pryor, the offensive lineman, and Brett Rypien, the quarterback, who has some history with Shane Waldron. So we'll get into all of that. But let's start it out with Jalen Johnson. Obviously, a big move there. They had franchise tagged him initially, but then they come to an agreement on a 4-year, $76 million deal, locking up Jalen Johnson for the long term. You know, what was your reaction when that news dropped?
I loved it. I just didn't know if they were going to be able to work things out the way how things went towards the end of the season. He seemed a little disgruntled with how they handled things, so I'm glad they got to an agreement because he is a true shutdown corner. He played lights out this year. There's a big difference from when he was out there and when he wasn't. So I'm glad they were able to lock him up for another 4 years. That defense just keeps getting better, right? So I feel good about the secondary. And that segues into the other guy that we got, Kevin Byard, as well. That I really like. Great tackler. He's got 13 more picks than Eddie Jackson has had in his career. I mean, absolute ball hawk. I know the past couple of years, the interception numbers really haven't been there, but he's a sure tackler. That's something that Eddie Jackson really struggled the past couple of years. He's a veteran guy, smart guy, can make plays as well. So I think the value in a 2-year, $15 million deal was a no-brainer for the Bears to lock him up.
Yeah, you know, here's some stats here on the screen. You know, Steven, our producer, has done such a great job with a lot of these graphics here over the last week. And, you know, obviously 30 more games for Kevin Byard, but as you mentioned, you know, if you look at the tackles, 748 tackles to 459 for Eddie. Again, 30 extra games, but 66 pass deflections, 28 interceptions for Kevin Byard. You know, forced fumbles, obviously, Eddie Jackson with 10, only three for Kevin. But the interceptions there, the tackling there, you know, he's been called the quarterback of the defense, you know, by some that have coached him here in the past. So that really fills out the secondary. I mean, like when you're trying to check boxes, you know, the linebacker core, check. Now the secondary, you know, locking up Eddie, you know, Jalen Johnson and bringing in safety to go alongside Jaquan Brisker and Kevin Byard, check. I mean, that's a really good start. And I know in the second half of the show, we're going to talk about what needs to be done. But the other thing you really have to like, we didn't add it on the list, obviously, but to me, if the Bears had traded a second round pick for Montez Sweat in the last week, we would be just, you know, going crazy. We'd be throwing a party for Ryan Poles right now. But since it happened during the season, you know, we don't really include that in the moves that have been made. But really, I mean, a second round pick is for this year's draft. So in essence, I do feel like that should be included in the conversation to some degree, right?
Exactly. I think, you know, the big thing about it is we just have to continue to build that defensive line. That's the key. That's what I'm focused on. A player that got snatched up that I'm a little disappointed because I wanted the Bears to take a shot at him. I thought Kansas City might let him go. Chris Jones, who got basically a fully guaranteed deal, it seemed like, right? I think he got $95 million. But I would like for the Bears to start making some moves defensive line wise. You know, I'm hoping they can address at least one of the positions, just because then it makes everything that much easier when it comes time to the draft. Then you're like, okay, we address defensive tackle. Now we can go after an end. Or if we address an end, now we can go after a defensive tackle. Because I think that's the last remaining piece. You talked about it, right? Secondary, check. Feel good on that regard. Linebacking core, really strong there. Defensive line, right? Montez Sweat, yeah. Jervon Dexter, getting better. Still a work in progress. Other than that, right, we need some more pieces in there, right? Is Dominique Robinson going to step up? But they're not going to rely on him to be the guy. They're obviously going to go out and get some talent. But now it's a matter of making those moves. That's the one thing I hope Ryan Poles doesn't do. 3 years in a row, really not addressing that defensive line like he's addressed some of the other positions. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they can do, hopefully. You know, it's just – defensive linemen, you know, good defensive linemen really make this Tampa 2 defense go. And you look at Kevin Byard. I love the signing there. You always want secondary that can tackle, that are physical. And you said the quarterback of the defense. Now it's about building that defensive line, rush and cover, the two. You get penetration in the run game. You pin your ears back. You get to the quarterback. It makes everything that much easier for the secondary. So think about it. If they can address this defensive line, that defense was playing on an absolute insane level last year.
Yep.
Imagine how much better they could have been with consistent pressure from that defensive line, like a San Francisco, you know, like Philly was 2 years ago. It would be a night and day difference. It would make whoever's at quarterback their job that much easier, right? Whether it's
Williams,
Drake May, one of those guys, or if they keep Justin Fields, the offense will have such an easier time because they know that defense will be able to get off the field, create turnovers, create more opportunities for them.
Oh, 100%. I mean, when they brought they finished the season with 22 interceptions, which was tied for the league lead with the San Francisco 49ers. And the majority of those interceptions came once they signed Montez Sweat. So to your point, once they put one pass rusher in there, their defense really took a surge. Imagine a second one being brought into the fold, and you have to at some point, you know, add to that group. You know, I know we talked a lot about Christian Wilkins, and you know, I really had my eyes on Danielle Hunter. We talked about him as well. You know, Justin Jones, who was, you know, on this defensive line for the last few years, he got paid. He got big money. Christian Wilkins got big money. Danielle Hunter got big money. And to your point, like if they had just signed one of those guys, yeah, it takes a huge hit in your salary cap. But man, your defense to an extent is almost set for, you know, if you had assigned a guy like that to a 4-year deal, you got Montez Sweat on a 4-year deal, Jalen Johnson's on a 4-year deal, you got all these players like Jervon Dexter, Kyler Gordon, Tyreek Stevenson on rookie contracts. You've got the linebacking core locked in. Like, I mean, your defense is so close to being set, and it's already a defense that made a big impact in the second half of the season. So to that standpoint, were you disappointed that Ryan Poles didn't pay up for some of the big time names like Christian Wilkins and Danielle Hunter?
Yeah, I think he should have shot a shot at Christian Wilkins. I mean, he's a younger guy. I think he just finished his fourth or fifth year. So he's really hitting the peak of his career, right? He's gotten so much better. He really came into his own this past year. I think he put everything together as a dominant run defender and his pass rush ability. So I think he should have tried to get the bag with him. Danielle Hunter is an absolute freak of nature. I know injury concern has been a big thing for a lot of people. But the thing is, when he's out there, he's making an impact every play, it seems like. So I would have liked him to shoot a shot, at least one of those guys, try to get one of them. And that's the thing, like, when it looks at priorities, like, Poles is a very offensive line focused. And that's what you see with the moves. It's been a common theme what we've seen the past couple of years, right? He's really establishing that offensive line, which I love. But now we're like, okay, defensive line as well. And, you know, when you look at Justin Jones, I mean, the Bears shouldn't have paid him that much, to be honest. I think Justin Jones is a solid player, but hey, kudos to him for going to Arizona and getting that $30 million contract, 19 guaranteed. His play, I think he's great in the run game, but to get paid in this league, I think you have to be a dominant pass rusher or be able to flash in that. I thought he was great in the run game, but I think it was probably a smart decision for the Bears to let him go. But now it's like we have to make moves, right? Because we're relying on Jervon Dexter. And the thing is, right, he flashed a lot, but he has a lot to improve on in his game. We talked about the pad level, the hand usage, getting off the football, all that's key, you know, in this Tampa too. And I think Justin Jones was probably the only D tackle, in my opinion, that really got off the football this year on a consistent basis. So got a lot left to do, you know, in free agency and the draft. I'm just, like I said, I'm just hoping that they don't leave out the defensive line, because I think if they're going to make a push with whatever quarterback situation there, right, I think the defense is going to improve. But sometimes, right, if you don't address some of those positions, they can slide the protection to Montez Sweat, and then all of a sudden they leave that other guy one-on-one, and he doesn't have the same impact. If you have another bookend out there and a three technique, it makes things a lot harder, right? So you could pick your poison at that point. That's what I would like for them to get a guy like Christian Wilkins, because watching his tape, his get off, his burst off the football, his quickness, his hand usage, that was all in line with this Tampa 2 scheme. And you could have really let the big dog eat there. So now we're going back. Okay, you know, free agency, it's still early yet, but some of these guys are starting to get snatched up. And then all of a sudden you're like, okay, now this changes how we approach the draft, right? Then is this a situation where if we haven't really addressed the defensive line, is this a situation where they're like, okay, let's trade back, regardless if they're going to pick a quarterback or not? Do we trade back and try to get more and more picks, get another quarterback that was maybe two or three on our radar if we're going quarterback, or do we keep Justin Fields and we're trading back to really revamp that defensive line? Then it becomes a scenario. There's three different ways you can go on that. So I'm hoping they can address some of these positions in free agency, so that way in the draft they can truly do what they want to as far as draft. It doesn't change or divert their plan.
Yeah, it seems like Ryan Poles likes to let the draft fall to him in a lot of ways and let free agency fall to him in some ways as well. Not even being as aggressive, it feels like, as he was last year, where, you know, kind of out of nowhere, he really bolstered that linebacking position with Tremaine Edmonds and TJ Edwards. And a lot of us really weren't expecting that kind of money to that position. But Ryan Poles did that. So we'll just have to wait and see how it falls to him. And we'll get into some options here in the second half of our show of what they can do on the defensive line. And we have some names to throw around there, but let's move to the other side of the ball and talk some more about the acquisitions that have taken place that we haven't gotten your reaction on. And obviously DeAndre Swift, you know, signs a 3-year, $24 million deal. You know, obviously, you know, started in Detroit and then last year was in Philadelphia. He's had some injury history in his past. Last year, he only missed one game with injury, but the Eagles did not bring him back. And the Bears, I mean, it was the first move right out the gate Monday morning when free agency kicked off. You know, your reaction to DeAndre Swift and the impact he can have with the Chicago Bears.
I love this pick. I think what Chicago is trying to build, right? They've already had a great running game. I think their offensive line, that's one of their strengths there. So picking up him as well, and he's an all-purpose back, right? He can do it all. He can run in between the tackles, around the edge. He can catch the ball in the backfield. He's a good blocker. So I think he fits that role of the all-purpose back. Had some great years in Detroit, had a really good year last year in Philly, even despite their offense really not being the juggernaut that they were the previous year. So love the pickup. And then it kind of begs the question, okay, what is the role going to be for Khalil Herbert at this point, right? Because they're very similar in their running style. So is maybe this a thing that they're looking to potentially move on from Khalil Herbert? Because Roschon Johnson and him are completely different backs.
Yep.
So I wonder how that's going to fit in that room. And kind of this year, it was kind of like up and down, right, with what was going on in the running back room. It was basically like week by week. Okay, this is going to be the guy. That's going to be the guy. So hopefully they'll have a good plan. I know, obviously, Swift is going to be one of the main backs, but who's going to be there to complement him? And it seems like probably Roschon Johnson.
Yeah, Mark Harmon thinks there's a chance that Khalil Herbert might not be on the roster come training camp, but it'll certainly be interesting. I mean, the Bears the last few years have done a running back by committee with a lot of success. I mean, you need, you know, different options. You know, that's a position that takes a lot of hits. And, you know, so to your point, it'll be interesting to see how that all shakes out. You know, from the running back perspective, I mean, the last, you know, 5 years or so, it's been trending where there is no market for running backs to get paid. And all of a sudden, you know, you're seeing Josh Jacobs and DeAndre Swift and Saquon Barkley. He eclipsed what the franchise tag amount would be. You know, he's getting top dollar, beyond top dollar as a running back now with the Philadelphia Eagles. Were you surprised how much the market shifted for running backs here this year?
Yeah, I really was, because they didn't put too much of a premium on running backs, because I think what you see is the running back by committee. But I think when you look at a guy like Saquon Barkley, for example, so dynamic, and what he can do is really change games. And he takes the pressure off whatever quarterback's in there. And I honestly think this was one of the best things Philly can do, right? When you talk about, you know, rebounding after an okay year for them, when the previous year they were one of the top offenses. So I think this is perfect, right? He can run in between the tackles. He can run around the edge. He catches the ball in the backfield. Good blocker as well. So I think that's such a good situation. And I think running backs can change a game. It just – look at Christian McCaffrey. I think, you know, the way this season finished, I think people were realizing, okay, when you have a dominant running back, look what can happen to this offense. Like, San Francisco should have won that game if they would have just relied on the running game with Christian McCaffrey. They controlled the line of scrimmage, like what I was talking about with building for the Bears. Regardless of what quarterback is in there, you have to build in the trenches. And I think San Francisco had the plan. They just diverted from it. So I think it's always good anytime you have depth at the running back position, because, you know, Herbert got banged up last year. Foreman got banged up at times. So it's always good to have three backs. I'd be surprised if they let Herbert go, just because I believe he has one more year under contract. Mm-hmm. So I think it'd be smart to keep him, because you never know what's going to happen over the course of a year. And you know, he's a guy that can come in and yards per carry. I mean, he's been one of the best in the league since he came in there. So I think it'd be a good option. I think just the thing is his injury, he has all these soft tissue issues. He's had concussion issues as well. So I think it's always good to have other options in there, and it's always good to have depth, right? They got three guys that can play. But I think it's probably going to be Swift and Johnson that are probably going to get most of the carries.
Well, and when you talk about touchdown production, you know, Jalen Hurts certainly was a touchdown vulture when you talk about doing that tush push like they do in, you know, and I know they have some different options at running back on the goal line as well, but still, you got to think a handful of touchdowns were taken from DeAndre Swift once they got into the red zone, and certainly inside the five, and they started executing that tush push. So, you know, I know some people are questioning, you know, I see Nick Ulbrich saying, you know, Swift barely got 1,000 yards with a beast of an offensive line in Philadelphia. But, you know, he does catch a lot of passes. You know, he did stay healthy, which was his biggest question. I mean, the thing about DeAndre Swift is I think everybody, just him coming from Detroit and knowing who he is coming out of Georgia, like, I think we know what we're going to get from DeAndre Swift. It's more of a question of, can he stay healthy? And last year he proved he could, you know, only missing one game. So there's burst, you know, when he gets in the open field, he's a threat. He can catch out of the backfield. And if you are bringing in a rookie quarterback potentially, or any quarterback, but specifically a rookie quarterback, you know, to be able to give, you know, a defense that's going to get you in good field position or turn the football over and put you in, you know, good positions or hold the line when you're having trouble executing on offense, that's one way to help your quarterback. A good running game, a good stable of running backs is going to help your quarterback. Check down candidates in your running back is going to help your quarterback. And also tight end, which takes me to our next guy here. Yeah. The Bears pick up Gerald Everett, you know, a pass catching tight end from San Diego on a 2-year deal. You know, this is a guy that has had some consistency in San Diego. Now, granted, they've got Justin Herbert, who certainly can sling the rock and spreads it out with the firepower they have there. But at the same time, another option here to add to the tight end room with Cole Kmet and help your quarterback have another check down option.
Yeah, no, I love this, and especially he's familiar with Shane Waldron's system, right? He's been with him in L.A., right, when he coached on the Rams, and then in Seattle for a year. So he's very familiar with this system. There's going to be a lot of two tight end sets, and he's a great pass catcher as well. He can stretch the field. So I like the combination of him and Cole Kmet in there. I think it's going to be great for this system. I'm really excited. Like I said, whatever quarterback is in there, I think this is going to be a great system for him. It's very friendly. The chip help, especially for offensive line, we're talking about, okay, what are we going to do as far as left tackle? If we continue with Braxton Jones, I think he's going to improve. But I think this style of offense really takes the pressure off the offensive line. The two tight end sets, the chip help. And Gerald Everett is very familiar with this. So I love the pickup, especially for him to complement Cole Kmet. And then who knows, in the red zone, he could be another threat as well, which I think is an awesome thing.
Yeah, absolutely. We do have a bit of breaking news running around the Chicago timeline. It's not Chicago Bears centric, but the Chicago White Sox have reportedly traded Dylan Cease, their star starting pitcher. Seems like he may be moving on. So just if you're a White Sox fan who tunes into our CSGO White Sox show, just keep an eye out for a breaking news show potentially dropping here on this channel, because that's what we do here at CHGO Sports. We are ready at a moment's notice for any breaking news for all the teams we cover here in Chicago. So we'll just have to wait and see the news on that one and the reaction from the White Sox crew. So let's continue to kick it around the horn here. There's a couple, you know, kind of filler, you know, signings, you know, trying to fill out your roster. The Chicago Bears signed Jonathan Owens, you know, a safety to add to that secondary. You know, he's also most known for being Simone Biles' husband. So he's not even the best athlete in his family, and he's coming from Green Bay. So we're going to have to get this family right as they come over from Chicago. They also today signed Matt Pryor, you know, offensive lineman from San Francisco here to a 1-year deal. You know, so not exactly a notable name, but Jonathan Owens here, you know, certainly, you know, is somebody that we're familiar with here in Chicago. You know, any additional thoughts to either of those signings?
Yeah, I think Owens is a depth piece. He's a guy that started some games. He's a valuable special teams player. And that's the key thing. What I love, what Ryan Poles is doing, bolstering that depth, right? Now we're looking at some options that can come in and be a starter if need be, can play special teams. There's a lot of value in that. So I love them. Same thing with Pryor. And Poles seems to love to get these offensive linemen. That's kind of what he does well. And he's a Swiss Army knife. Matt Pryor can play a multitude of positions. So I think it's always great to have depth on the offensive line, especially you talk about Tevin Jenkins, right? Had some issues injury-wise, Nate Davis as well. So now you have two options that can play as starters that have shown that. And it's always good to have great depth. I guess I'm thinking about Darnell Mooney and his deal, 13 a year for the Falcons. I'm very surprised by that, especially, you know, I know last year he had some dropping issues. It just didn't seem like the same Darnell Mooney. Were you surprised by $13 million a year?
Yeah. I mean, he certainly got a lot. I mean, reportedly before the year, there was reports out there that he got offered like 3-year, $10 million a year for the Bears, and he turned that down. So he was betting on himself essentially. And then the season, you know, unfolds and he has maybe the most down year he's had of his career to date. And you say, you know, he had some drops and he wasn't himself. And I think the other end of that argument is, you know, was Fields finding him with enough consistency? He certainly had the ability to find DJ Moore with consistency, and they showed that chemistry. But with DJ Moore, with Darnell Mooney, maybe a lack of connection between him and Justin Fields this year, maybe a lack of downfield play calls from Luke Getsy. I mean, that was something we talked about a lot throughout the year, that they were not throwing it downfield enough. Even Matt Eberflus alluded to that a few times in post-game press conferences. I mean, how many times are they asking Darnell Mooney to block on a screen or be the guy catching a screen pass on a screen that isn't executed properly when it came to the blocking on that regard? So, you know, I think it was a collection of all those things. Like Darnell Mooney shares his blame. Justin Fields shares some blame, not finding him enough. There's a few times I can remember Justin Fields overthrowing him wide open. I'm not going to act like Darnell Mooney didn't make mistakes, because I obviously, to have the kind of down year that he did, like I said, blame goes around. And I think Luke Getsy also shares some blame there as well. But it is interesting to see Darnell Mooney get the money he got from the Atlanta Falcons, because they obviously viewed whatever issues he had this year as not his problem. Or it's also because if you look across the league, wide receivers are getting paid if they get hit. They hit the free agent market. Gabe Davis, you know, leaves Buffalo. Buffalo fans will tell you he had a case of the drops, but he gets paid by the Jacksonville Jaguars. Calvin Ridley just got $90+ million, you know, from the Tennessee Titans. So that's a premium position. Very few good wide receivers hit the free agent market, and when they do, they get paid big money. I think that's the biggest takeaway as well.
Yeah, as far as wide receivers, you know, I'm looking at two guys, Hunter Renfrow and Curtis Samuel as potential options for the Bears, right? When we talk about stacking up, especially at the wide receiver position, what do you think about those options right there?
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit on the show today. I think Curtis Samuel is certainly a good fit. I mean, we're all begging for Rome Odunze or Malik Nabers to fall to 9, and I know you want a D tackle or a pass rusher, and I always want, you know, the hot shit wide receiver every year. Yeah. I wanted Jackson Smith and Jigba. Last year, you wanted the trenches and Darnell Wright. You won. This year, I'm going to hold my ground. I want the hot shit wide receiver again this year. You know, but will they end up drafting an offensive lineman, a left tackle if he falls, or taking a pass rusher, or even maybe potentially trading back at 9 and trying to get themselves back in the second round might be the most responsible thing to do. But I'm not responsible. I get greedy and I want to add to this wide receiver room. And when you talk about it being a premium position and how much money you have to pay to get somebody off the free agent market, it is in your best interest to draft wide receiver talent. And if you can find a premier wide receiver in the first round that you get on a 5-year rookie contract, you know, I like that, it, you know, Malik Nabers or Rome Odunze potentially falling to 9, because the Atlanta Falcons, you know, just signed, you know, Darnell Mooney. And then you just had the Tennessee Titans pay big money for Calvin Ridley. So the theory is now those two teams may not necessarily draft a wide receiver, you know, at 5 or at 9 or at 8. And that might push Malik Nabers or Rome Odunze to 9 as well. So I have no issue with a guy like Curtis Samuel, but then I'm doubling down in the draft and trying to fill out that wide receiver room. That's kind of how I'm looking at things.
Yeah, no, I like that. I think both of those options would complement if they did go with receiver in the draft. But I think also getting one of those guys would make it that much easier, right? If they were going to go a different direction as far as wide receiver or put that on the defensive line, then you still feel good about an option in Curtis Samuel or Hunter Renfrow for whatever quarterback's in there. So I think that would be a smart option for them to get a wide receiver in this free agency. So that way you have flexibility during the draft, because at the same time, we talked about them not addressing the defensive line, right? It's something that they have to do. So it could come down to a situation where they're like, we have to use this pick on a defensive lineman. We don't have the depth. We don't have the talent there. So I'm hoping that they can get one of the wide receivers that they feel good about. So if they weren't to get a wide receiver, they're still set up for success.
Yeah, 100%. So we'll move to what they should do or what moves still to come here in the second part of our, you know, as we round head to third base here on the show. Once again, Dylan Cease reportedly traded. So stay tuned for a breaking news show for CHGO White Sox. Yes, you are here at CHGO Bears After Dark. Please hit that like button while you're hanging out. CHGO Bears After Dark is always presented by our guys over at Circa Sports. Make sure you're hitting up their sports book. Tight money line splits. Games strive to be a minus 110 split on the Circa Sports menu, unlike other sports books, which may use a minus 115 or minus 120 split. Circa Sports keeps as little money as possible on large market bets, especially compared to the other books. Extremely transparent, Circa Sports does not limit players based on their winnings. Every player has the same limits, unlike other books who do limit winning players. And I encourage all of you to download and explore all the different sports betting apps available to you and compare the lines from each sports book and see for yourself. Their customer service is second to none. Real people behind the Circa Sports brand who resolve issues in a timely fashion, unlike other books who use those annoying chat bots. All aspects of the app are being run by the same team that runs the main Circa Sportsbook at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. It's one of the top places to go when you go to Las Vegas. So download the Circa Sports Illinois app at circasports.com/Illinois-app to sign up today. Also, be on the lookout for Circa events, watch parties, and tailgates. If you or someone you may know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or text GAMB at 833-234 or visit areyoureallywinning.com. And also with Circa Sports, next Thursday for the start of the college basketball tournament, it's March, it's college basketball season. The Big Ten tournament's underway right now. We got the college basketball tournament next week on Thursday. It all kicks off. Everybody, you know, clears their calendar, calls off work. Call off work next Thursday because we're going to be at Circa Sports, the Circa Sportsbook in Waukegan, Illinois, and we're doing a live CHGO Bears show at 9:30 in the morning before the basketball games tip off, and then we're also going to have a college basketball special after CHGO Bears, all live at Circa Sportsbook in Waukegan. The whole crew is going to be there. Adam Hoag, Mark Carmen, myself, and Nicholas Moriano with our guy Steven producing. And we're going to have a lot of fun. And we're going to be there all day long. I know I'm going to be there till about 1 in the morning watching college basketball all day and all night. So come on out. Hang with us at Circa Sports in Circa Sportsbook in Waukegan. Have some drinks. Play some bets. And we can argue about the quarterback position some more if you hang out with us. So let's get on to some of the moves that could still be made. Let's stick with the wide receivers since we were just on that. You mentioned Curtis Samuel. Calvin Ridley's off the board, so this isn't a completely updated list here that I'm showing here on the screen. Marquise Brown is still available. The Chiefs, I think, are a team that's in play potentially for him, but, you know, maybe the Bears are in there. You know, Calvin Ridley, everybody thought was Jags or Patriots, and then Tennessee came swooping down with a big deal for him. Gabriel Davis, as we mentioned, to the Jaguars, but you still have Tyler Boyd, Odell Beckham Jr. You mentioned Hunter Renfrow, KJ Osborne, Josh Reynolds, Michael Thomas, DJ Shark, and then Mike Williams just became available as he was released by the San Diego Chargers. Yes. as a cap cut. So when you look over this list, like mm-hmm. I said, I know you mentioned, Hunter Renfrow and Curtis Samuel, but does anybody else jump off the board to you, including Mike Williams from San Diego?
So Mike Williams, that intrigues me, but he's had knee issues, right? I think he failed his physical. I think he had a knee injury this season.
Yeah, he had an ACL, I believe.
Yeah, so he's not fully healthy yet. But that could be an option where a prove it year to get some depth. You get him at the right price. That could be a good option. Tyler Boyd, I like. You know, I think he's a great option, you know, in there. Somebody doesn't like San Diego, huh?
Well, I keep saying San Diego, and they're the Los Angeles Chargers, so I'm showing my age. They're not the San Diego Chargers anymore. But they should be, Rob. So I'm sticking to it. It's like calling it the Sears Tower. We don't call it the Willis Tower, and we don't call them the Los Angeles Chargers. They're the San Diego Chargers. Yeah. Go ahead, Corey.
I like the idea of Tyler Boyd, too. I feel like you can get him at a pretty decent price.
I agree.
He has experience in there. He's played in some good systems in Cincinnati. I think that would be a good addition as well. You know, like I said, the Mike Williams thing does intrigue me at the right price. I think what you're getting as far as talent, if he is healthy at that point, because I think he got hurt after the first game of their second game of the season. So it could be an option for the right price. But, yeah, just like Alfredo said, Boyd is a legit, you know, slot receiver, and that could be a good option. And that's always a quarterback's best friend. Whoever's in there, it's always great to have a great slot guy. And, you know, that's what I was saying about Renfro. As far as, like, his route running, he's one of the most underrated route runners. I don't know if you remember hearing that clip of Ryan Clark talking to who's the safety from I was about to say San Diego too, from the Chargers, who went to Florida State. Drawing a blank.
Where is Gary Ross when we need him? I don't know. Yeah. I'm drawing a blank. But go ahead.
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank. But he was talking to Ryan Clark about who's the best receivers. Ryan Clark mentioned all these people. He said Hunter Renfro. Ryan Clark said, "Huh?" He said, "Nah, don't sleep on Hunter Renfro. He's one of the best."
Derwin James.
That's who it was. Yep. I've drawn a blank on name. But he was saying he's one of the best route runners, how he sets people up. And I think that would be a great addition to this scheme and helping whatever quarterback's in there, because usually every great quarterback has that great slot receiver. Obviously, they have a dude like they have in DJ Moore, but a nice slot receiver to complement him, a tight end that's a utility blanket, you know, for that. And I think that's what you get in Cole Kmet. And, you know, I think if they can do that, then it gives them flexibility, like I said, for the draft. So then you don't have to take a risk. It would be nice to, but that defensive line that we talked about that I get excited about, yep, then you can address some of those things.
Yep. I like it. We'll scoot through these, because I know you've got some things coming up on your plate here tonight. And we're going to be here every week. We got all off season to continue to go over some of this stuff, but you know, obviously you just never know who they're going to sign at any given moment. So let's get back to the trenches. Some of the defensive. So we got some edge rushers that are still available. Chase Young, would a potential marriage of bringing them back, you know, they both were in Washington. They get traded out. You got Jadeveon Clowney, Eric Armstead, somebody that certainly jumps off the page, and then a whole bunch of lines through the rest of the names here on this list that we started with when free agency began. You know, the pass rushers are a premium, and the NFL showing it by X-ing out all these names, because the NFL just swooped up and took the rest of these guys. So you got Chase Young, Jadeveon Clowney, and Eric Armstead. And then there's a potential of Joey Bosa potentially, but I mean, until we find out, we don't know for sure. You know, the Chargers released Mike Williams. They've announced that they're keeping Khalil Mack, but I don't know if we've gotten any indication on whether or not they're going to keep Joey Bosa as well. But for now, we have those names: Eric Armstead, Jadeveon Clowney, Chase Young. Do any of those three names intrigue you?
So both of the 49ers, Chase Young and Eric Armstead, I think those are guys that get off the football, right? They're used to that attacking style. They're great pass rushers. And I think a fire was lit under Chase Young's ass when they were talking about him, you know, his effort, you know, his lack of caring about what's going on, you know, loafing the whole bit. And in that Super Bowl, I mean, he was playing on a different level. He was in the backfield. Armstead is a three technique. He's just a tall, long guy. He's about 6'7", probably about 300.
Yeah, we got Hotel Whiskey with a $5 super chat asking, is Armstead available? He is. And then he asks, is he a three technique, which Corey just confirmed that he is. Yep. And then he also was asking about Dallas Turner at nine, you know, suggesting that that would be a good selection.
Yeah, but Arik Armstead, I'm a firm believer, and you look at like these long three techniques, I think it's such an advantage inside, because when you look at most guards, right, guards are shorter than the tackles. So a three technique that's 6'7" with long arms, leverage, great get off, I think it's going to be a nightmare matchup for any guard. So when you look at DeForest Buckner, who came from San Francisco as well, he was paired with Arik Armstead. Those guys are nightmare matchups for guards. Guards hate going against guys like those. Obviously, Aaron Donald on the other side, a shorter guy that has crazy get off, leverage, strength. But I think the taller, longer guys that can get off the football. And when I'm thinking about, oh, Jervon Dexter, if we had a guy like Arik Armstead, put him under his wing, you know, a tall guy as well that plays with great pad level, great get off, I think that would be the perfect fit, because you can say, okay, here's a guy that's physically similar to how I am. This is how he approaches stuff. He's a true pro in that regard, and he's played at a high level for a while. So I wouldn't mind going after either him or Chase Young, and I think it would be a win-win for a guy like Jervon Dexter. When we talked about the development, and now Arik Washington is there, the defensive coordinator, that's going to be working primarily with the defensive line, especially with a guy like Arik Armstead or Chase Young. If I were the Bears and they're worried about Chase Young and his effort and all that, Arik Washington, I played under him, he will get under his ass and he will make sure he's running to the football. He'll make sure he's playing with effort. And that's sometimes when you see a player, maybe his lack of effort, this, that a lot of times comes down to coaching, right? Coaches sometimes let stuff creep in, right? They do. Sometimes as pros, you think, hey, they're not going to let this stuff creep in. I've seen it. I've seen it from the difference between Lovie Smith and Rob Marinelli to Mel Tucker and company the following year. It was a big difference in that defense. So I do think coaching matters. And if I'm the Bears, I would take a shot on both of those guys. And who knows, because of everything about Chase Young, I think some team will throw him a bag just because he's that talented. But let's say, you know, the price isn't that high for him. Why not shoot a shot at him? He has the talent. It's just about getting the best out of him. And I think that's the mark of a great coach. And I think Arik Washington is that.
Yeah. I mean, well, you've told the story many times how, you know, Arik Washington helped your career and Rod Marinelli lit a fire under your ass. And that's what catapulted you to, you know, the career you had here in Chicago and got you going early in your career. So coaching is important. I mean, just imagine, Corey, if I had been in that room and as a coach to you, I had gotten you up to Hall of Fame level of play with my motivation. Look at, I'm just finishing my creatine right here, trying to get flexed like you. And that's just we bring. Look, go ahead.
You take creatine?
I just started in the last week because you've been on me. And so I talked to my trainer and I asked him, I'm like, hey, man, you know, I need more results. Corey Wooten is shaming me every week for my lack of muscle structure within my arms. And so I asked him, can I hit up some creatine? And he said it was good. He approved it.
Yeah, creatine is good, but all it does is just add water to your muscles. So it gives you an inflated look. Yeah, maybe your biceps will go from extra small to decently small, but it's not going to make that big of a difference, honestly. Right? The thing is, right? You know, the thing that might work for you is synthol, right? You see those crazy guys that inject that stuff into their biceps.
Yeah,
maybe that will help.
You think so? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe. Mm-hmm. But I think the one thing with creatine, you got to make sure you hydrate.
I got the water. I'm drinking a ton of water because my buddy told me that he got kidney stones from not drinking enough water while he was taking it. So I appreciate the advice. Real quick, because I know you got a jet here, but the defensive tackles, be remiss if I didn't ask you a little more about the trenches here. A'shaun Robinson available still. DJ Reader, who there was some, you know, offhanded reports that the Bears might be interested. He's taking some visits around the country, talking to some different teams. Shelby Harris, John Jenkins, Tyre Tart. Any of those names jump out to you?
I mean, for me, you know, I was really big on what's the name from Miami, Wilkins.
Yeah,
that's who I really wanted. Who I thought would be a great fit for the scheme. To me, like that three technique at the Tampa two, I feel like some of those guys could play in there, but there's none that jumps out that I'm like, I got to have this guy. You know, so for me, I was big on Wilkie. I thought he'd be a great fit. Obviously, Chris Jones, but I really thought that he would go elsewhere, just how Kansas City, you know, treated him. And I thought they were kind of like, oh, they didn't want to pay him. We're going to see. But I thought they saw the value in that. So I was hoping they'd maybe let him go and the Bears could take a shot on him, because people were saying, oh, he's old. At 29 years old for three technique, I have no problem with that. I have no problem signing a 31-year-old. I think Chris Jones has been productive. You know, he hasn't been injured like that, and he plays at such a high level. And I think Wilkins is just elevating himself, and I think he's going to be one of the top defensive tackles in the league for years to come. Now I'm like, okay, Johnny Newton, we got to find a way to get him. I really do. I think you got to find a way to get him. Because at this point, Jervon Dexter is our guy at three technique, right?
Mm-hmm.
I love the potential, and who knows, he could shock the world, get off, play with great pad level, and be a top guy in this league. I wouldn't want to bet on that, right? Because the development, you know, year one to year two, you see big growth, but year two to year three, that's where you see the biggest growth. So mm-hmm. I'd like for somebody to be in there that can be a starter. And then if Jervon Dexter plays well, then all of a sudden you have a great rotation. You got two dudes at three technique. And then in your pass rush situations, you have Jervon Dexter and a guy like Johnny Newton in there with another bookend opposite Montez Sweat. So I think that could be a good situation.
Well, it certainly, I don't think anybody's going to be complaining. I think people are familiar with Newton, you know, coming out of Illinois. So certainly an option there. We're going to wrap things up with the final comments. Flacco to the Colts. Joe Flacco, that was one news that broke while we were doing the show. Joe Flacco signs a one-year deal with the Colts. You know, it's, you know, the quarterback market continues to move. We didn't touch on, and this is out of, you know, we're giving you a gift here, Bears fans. We did not touch on the quarterback signing. They just picked up a backup quarterback here in Brett Rypien, who has some familiarity with the Shane Waldron offense. He comes from Seattle, had some experience with the Rams, so is familiar with the system here in Chicago. But this is, we did a quarterback-less talk show here today. Every show is about the goddamn quarterbacks. Today, we gave you this treat. We talked about this entire roster, and we didn't talk about the quarterbacks, and we can save that conversation for another day, unless Corey makes me talk about it, and you are allowed to. You're the boss here, Corey. If you want to talk about it, you can, but I was trying to give everyone an outlet to have a show where we don't talk about the quarterbacks for once. So what do you say? Do you got something on them, or do you want to,
I think nobody has a clue what Poles and company are going to do, right? We could speculate all day, but we can say this way or that way. I really don't think they've made a definitive answer of what they're going to do. And I think that's the God's honest truth.
Okay. Well, we're going to find out, and you're getting closer to the answer. One day there's going to be an answer. The answer isn't today.
Draft night.
So, you know, I want to ask you this, because this was asked to me. Corey, what day is St. Patrick's Day?
Oh, shoot. I thought it was like the 23rd or something.
No, it's not. It's the 17th. And the guys on the show today, I didn't know it was on the 17th. I asked what day St. Patrick's Day was, thinking that like every year they put it on a Saturday, like they do for Thanksgiving every year on a Thursday. And then everyone would mocked me on the show today that how I dare not know that St. Patrick's Day is on the 17th every March of every year. And everyone had a big laugh about it. Corey didn't know either. So now Corey's in my camp. Another question that was asked to Mark Carmen, and we'll see if you know the answer to it, is Kareem, $5 super chat, says, what's up, Wooten? What are your thoughts on signing Bofa?
Bosa, right?
I don't know. Yeah. He wants you to know your thoughts on signing Bofa.
Hello? Sorry. Yeah. Wait. What?
Yeah, he's not talking about Bosa. He wants to know your thoughts on signing Bofa. I asked Mark Carmen this question, and he didn't know the answer either. Do you know the answer?
Is this some kind of like trick question or something?
It is a trick question. Carm didn't know the answer. The answer to it is Bofa D's nuts. That's the answer to the question. It's a child's joke from like 15 years ago. I gave it to Carm real hard. Not going to do you the same, as I already did the joke once today. It was hilarious.
Wait till I see you in April. You're trying to make me look like a fool out there. All right. We're going to see if that creatine really talking. All right.
I'll be ready. I'll be ready for you. Thank you, Kareem, for providing some comedy here on CHGO Bears today. I apologize to anyone for the terrible, terrible jokes that are going on here. 40 inch. Everyone's enjoying it. So Kareem is having Kareem's having some fun. So I'm having some fun with him. But yes, I do not clip this, Matthew Gregory, where I said I gave it real hard to Carb. Do not clip that. All right.
Clip it. Clip it. Clip it.
All right. Well, Woot's got to go.
We're both of these.
Woot's got a jet. I'm going to jet. We'll be back tomorrow at noon. A lot of different things coming down the pike. Kevin Byard's going to be at House Hall. Nick Moriano's going to be covering all the stuff going on at House Hall tomorrow with some of the players speaking to the media. Me, Adam Hogue, and Mark Carman will be in studio reacting to it all. So make sure you tune in to CHGO Bears. Hit the like button on your way out. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. Corey, always appreciate your time. We'll see you next week. See what new moves have transpired from there. And until then, ladies and gentlemen, always bear down. Y'all silly like the mayor.